Let's walk the talk. 702.
The incredible joy and the delight of being a mother, being a parent, is something that is unattainable for a significant part of the population. And those who have the means are able to turn to technology such as in vitro fertilization or IVF. IVF is expensive. And now we're going to talk to Stacey Wilson, a clinical technologist and a specialist in reproductive biology, joins me on the line from Durban. Stacey, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Hi, Africa. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm awesome.
Perhaps let's start from the beginning. Why is IVF so expensive?
Okay, so unfortunately in South Africa, we don't produce any of the materials that we need in order to do the procedure. So at the starting point, everything we need for the procedure is outsourced from Germany and all overseas. So that already puts a huge cost on the companies running it. So, everything is coming from outside areas. And, we're not on that path yet where we can local it liquor and do everything ourselves.
And out of interest, what are the tools and the technology that is needed?
Oh, so it depends what procedure you're doing. But for the most part, there's always a media component or fluid component. So basically with in vitro, it's just a Latin term for meaning in glass. So in other words, outside the body. So what I do as a clinical technologist in reproductive biology is I recreate the internal environment or what would be happening inside the womb. I recreate that outside the womb. So in my lab, I've got incubators that run at specific temperatures with specific gas to give you the right pH, which is similar to inside the body. I also have a lot of different media that's got the right sugars and glucose levels and things to keep the embryo growing, and also special liquids to wash sperm to get the best sperm out of the semen sample. And then the catheters and the items we use to put the fluids and the eggs into the body and to take them out of the body. So there's a few components.
Some people are wondering why, I suppose, taxpayers' money should not be used to make the service available to those who cannot fall pregnant. I imagine that would be a very difficult argument to make, right? When we've got so many people living with slightly more, I'll call it basic and primary health issues, diabetes, high blood pressure, HIV/AIDS, TB. I mean, those are things that are impacting on a wider range of our society and, quite frankly, more urgent for the health system to address, right?
I suppose that's one way to look at it. But in South Africa, it's actually 1 in 6 couples have a problem falling pregnant. And then, you know, the same as like you mentioning diabetes and those types of things, there's nothing that a patient can physically do other than removing their womb or, you know, having a vasectomy that's actually stopping them. So it's all things that's not chosen. It's not self-inflicted. But sadly, medical aids, you know, also see it as a cosmetic procedure. So they don't really want to cover it either. So at the point where it's overseas, the World Health Organization has actually marked infertility down as a disease, although it's not recognized in our country as such. So, I mean, once we reach that day, then I think we'll see a lot of changes with regards to funding provided for these types of treatments. But again, like you're saying, it's not yet on the mark there.
So am I correct then in saying that the public health system does not offer IVF as a solution to, as you say, 1 in 6 couples who are not able to produce a child?
So there's actually 2 government facilities that do. There's one in Cape Town, and then there's one in Pretoria. I've worked at the latter one, which was a very lovely setup. So the government facilities actually do have, you know, the best equipment. They've got really good people working there because predominantly they're training facilities. So they've used the opportunity to train medical professionals so that we have people who are trained in this field that can work abroad. And also they collect the data from all of these patient cycles and they use it, you know, to add to databases from around the world. So for them, they have put aside some sort of, you know, help for couples in need, but it's not in all cities and all provinces. It's only in those specific 2. And I'm from KZN and I know this side we have tried, but government hasn't yet come on board this side. So, yeah, we're not one of the lucky ones just yet.
An impossible question, I suppose, Stacey. How do you determine that Stacey is a person you're going to be helping and not Liesl, for example?
So, unfortunately now, well, not everybody has access to government, and then you're left with the private sector. Private sector, if you look at it, it's very costly to set up a fertility clinic, so not all areas have. The main ones do, Durban, Joburg, Cape Town, have got a few private ones. Myself and my partner, Dr. Mudi, we were the first ones in Pietermaritzburg who opened a fertility clinic in 2016. And, I mean, that says a lot because the first test tube baby was born in 1978. So it took a good few years for Pietermaritzburg, the capital of KZN, to get a fertility clinic. And up until then, the patients had to travel either to Joburg or Durban. It's something that's popping up more and more, but also not as fast as it should. So patients would... Purely, for us, we find word of mouth as one of our biggest, gold points, because that's where the patients hear, okay, you had a success there, let me try there. But a lot of the time, patients need to look at what works for their budget, because finances is obviously something that comes into play, and you don't want to cause more problems in your relationship, in your household, by, digging into finances that you don't have. There's not too much of a difference between the clinics, but, you've got to look into that factor. Referrals, what is the cost? And then also, overall, the bedside manner of the doctor makes a big difference, because obviously it's something that's very emotional, an emotional journey. So you want to be sure that you've got people that are treating you like, you are a human being and they understand what you're going through.
And what is the demand for your service, Stacey?
You'd actually be surprised. I mean, even down lockdown time, there were still patients that were coming through and wanting babies. I don't think it's something that will ever change. People will always want babies. It's naturally built into us, All our hormones are for ladies getting their monthly cycle, and, men, the testosterone, you want somebody to carry your name. It's a cultural thing. So it's definitely something that's high demand. It's just always been that way, and I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Stacey, thank you very much indeed for those insights and for the information you've shared with us. Stacey Wilson is a clinical technologist and specialist in reproductive biology. She's based in Pietermaritzburg, where she and her partner have opened the very first IVF clinic in that region. Imagine that.